years ago now, I was at home. I don't remember what day it was, but I was at home and I was resting on my couch. And I noticed that my heart wasn't beating right. I noticed that there was something going on. In fact, the way I described it to the doctor is I said, if you can sit here right now and you can feel your heartbeat, there's probably something wrong with you. Because normally you don't feel it. Normally you don't think about it. It's just doing what it does, and you know, you don't even consider it. But I was on my couch and I was resting, and I just was aware all of a sudden that my heart was not beating the way it should. That night when I went to bed, I found myself laying on my pillow in such a way that I could hear my pulse or sense my heartbeat. And I noticed as I was laying there in bed that it would take a couple of beats and then it would stop beating. And I'm like, dear Lord, please help this thing to kick in again. So it would beat quickly a couple times, and then it would take like a break. And it was that break that was concerning to me. So I was just praying there, and I was saying, Lord, I really could use your touch right now. I'm going to go to sleep, and I'm going to trust that you'll wake me up in the morning, right? So I don't know how much time went by. A week went by, 2 weeks went by. And I came to work, and I walked up the stairs to go to my office, and I noticed it times two when I got to the top of the stairs. So I walked back down the stairs, and I said to Leslie, I said, something's not right with my heart. I'm going to go see the doctor. So I went and hopped in my car. I drove over to the local doctor, and I walked up to the lady at the reception desk, and I said, my heart's not beating right. I need to see a doctor. She said, okay, well, let me look in my appointment book and see when I can get you in. And I said, no, I think you're misunderstanding me. Something's not working right now. And she said, oh, hold on a minute. Before I knew it, there were three or four different nurses. They came out. They got me. They took me back into one of the office rooms, and I had those little patches all over me. And I heard somebody say, call an ambulance. And I said to them, I remember saying to them, that's okay, I can drive myself to the hospital because I didn't want whatever cost came with the ambulance, right? So anyways, it didn't work. They pulled up in an ambulance, loaded me into an ambulance. I went over to the hospital. And after numerous tests, and a night stay in the hospital, I met with the doctor the next day, and he said, I'm going to put you on these pills. I'm going to put you on these pills. I said, what are the pills for? And he said, the pills are called a beta blocker, and they are going to block whatever signal your brain is sending to your heart to not beat properly. I said, okay, what are the side effects? He said, the side effects are it's going to help your heart to beat right. I said, no, I want to know what the side effects are, the downside of these pills. He said, Jeff, the downside of these pills are it's going to help your heart to beat right. Again, this has probably been 4 or 5 years ago. I take one of these every day, and since that time, my heart has worked properly. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Now, a few moments ago, as you arrived here this morning, you got one of these little containers. I would ask you to get it right now. Grab that little container that you have right there. For those of you who are watching online, I would invite you to grab yours now. What I have here, listen, please hear me. What I have here in my left hand is a therapeutic medicine to enable my heart to stay in rhythm. What I have here, what you have here in your hands, is the greatest remedy that God has ever provided for us, for our sacred heart to beat properly. This is the greatest medicine that has ever been given to humanity for their heart to beat like it should. This one works for my physical heart. This one is designed for my sacred heart. In the Bible, the heart is described, this heart is described as the hub of personality. Your heart, my heart, is the incubator for my thoughts and my reason. My heart is the place from which desires are born. My heart is the place where various emotions emote. And it is in the place called the heart that true belief and faith take place. Here's the problem. Someone once said, at the heart of many problems is the problem of the heart. Let me say that to you again. At the heart of many problems is the problem of the heart. The Bible describes our malady, our ailment, as hard-heartedness. Hard-heartedness. A failure for our heart to function as it should. This problem of hard-heartedness is something that ends up affecting the well-being of our soul. During this pandemic, we have been told to take various cautions to protect against the COVID virus. But I'm here this morning to let you know that there is another virus lurking to do damage to your sacred heart. Here is the problem. The problem with hard-heartedness is that the person who has it is usually the last one to know. No one sets out to be a hard-hearted person. No one grows up answering the question, what do you want to be, Johnny, when you grow up? And their response is, I want to be a hard-hearted person. But somehow, some way, it happens. Hard-heartedness is a malady that can affect young and old alike. It can affect both men and women. It can affect people in high places and in low places. It can affect people who have a lot of money and don't have any money at all. And here's the one you may not think of. It can affect people who don't know God, and it can affect people who do know God. This morning, I want to talk with you for just a few moments about the causes of hard-heartedness. I want to talk to you about the symptoms of hard-heartedness. And lastly, I want to talk about the cure for hard-heartedness. The good news is it can be cured. And a few moments ago, you were holding in your hands the medicine. The medicine for hard-heartedness. What causes hard-heartedness? We are all susceptible to it. The reason is we live in a fallen, broken world. And in case you haven't noticed, there are a lot of people that we live around who are infected by it. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13 says this. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Now, let me just stop right there. In order for you to turn away from the living God, you first have to be pointed towards the living God. Right? I mean, how do you turn away from something if you're not already pointed at it? He refers to them as brothers, which indicates that they're part of the family of God. He says, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But instead, encourage one another as long as it is called today. Today is today. Today is always today as long as there is a today. Today is today. Tomorrow will be today when we get to it. As long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Sin and all of its tentacles has a way of wanting to harden our hearts. Sin's deceitfulness. What is deceitfulness? Deceitfulness can be best described. How many of you enjoy just some wholesome magic? I'm not talking about witchcraft and all that stuff. I'm talking about America's Got Talent kind of magic. Deceitfulness is this. While you're watching one thing over here, something else is taking place over here, and you miss it. Your attention is focused on one thing. Meanwhile, there is something else happening over here, and you miss something. You don't see something. That's how sin works. It shows you something over here, but while you're focusing on that here, there is something else happening over here. Something in the natural may be happening over here, but something in the supernatural is happening over here. You see, while all of our attention is being focused on natural things, being concerned about this, that, and the other thing, sin's deceitfulness has a way of working somehow in our hearts. And if we're not being attentive to that, we've really missed what just took place. Sin's deceitfulness. What are the causes of a hard heart? Number one, I would label these all together, and I would call them brokenness. But number one, a hard heart can be caused by hurt, offenses, rejection, disappointment, things like that, that fall under the category of a broken heart. A hard heart can happen because you got your heart broke in some way, shape, or form. Some hard-hearted people are that way. They're hard-hearted because something that has happened that has caused them to become broken-hearted. They aren't bad people. They're broken-hearted people. They risk being vulnerable or trusting. They got involved in a relationship or in a situation where they were hurt, betrayed, rejected, disappointed in some way. And in such circumstances, what people tend to do is say, I will never let that happen to me again. And the minute that you say that, I've done it multiple times. The minute that you say that, you've got this happening over here, but the minute you start saying that or sensing that or feeling that, you have already started to develop a hard heart. Because here's what happened. We try to insulate ourselves. We try to isolate ourselves. We try to callous, if you will, our hearts so that we're not affected by those things again. But in so doing, our heart starts to become hardened. So a broken heart, hurt, disappointment, rejection, frustration, things like that can cause us to lead to a hard heart. And left unhealed, left undealt with, it will end up leading to a full-blown hard heart. Number two, the second cause of hard-heartedness could be pride. Pride. Pride will cause your heart to become hard. In Obadiah, a little prophetic book in the Old Testament, it says, the pride of your heart has deceived you. You have said to yourself, who can bring me down to the ground? You may remember the story of Moses and Pharaoh, and they're going back and forth and back and forth. The Bible tells us there in Exodus that Pharaoh's hard-heartedness was due to his own pride and arrogance. Even in the face of tremendous proofs and witnessing God's powerful hand at work, it did nothing. It did nothing to soften the hard heart of Pharaoh. In fact, just the opposite. It made his heart grow even harder. I don't know if you've thought to yourself or said to yourself in working with people you might know to be hard-hearted, well, if they could just see God, if they could just see God, a miracle, if they could just see God's hand at work, it would soften their heart. Not necessarily so. Because Pharaoh saw all that, but it was his pride and arrogance that kept his heart hard. King Nebuchadnezzar, it says in Daniel chapter 5, his heart became arrogant and hardened with pride. He was deposed from his royal throne and stripped of his glory. Nebuchadnezzar's problem, remember I said it can affect the highest to the lowest. King Nebuchadnezzar's problem was his heart was hard because of arrogance and pride. It would behoove all of us to remember what Solomon said in Proverbs. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Do you know, I was told when I was at the hospital that day and they were doing some various tests, I was told at the hospital that day, the doctor said, it's really good that you caught this early. It's really good that you actually went and saw something and did something about this because left undealt with, it would have led to a very bad outcome. That's what a bad physical heart can lead to, our physical demise. But I'm sharing with you this morning what can happen if we don't do the necessary, take the necessary medicine for our sacred heart. It leads to a very bad outcome as well. Hurt, Disappointment, brokenheartedness can lead to a broken heart. Pride will lead you to a broken heart. But the third cause of hard-heartedness is unchecked sin. Unchecked sin. For those of you who've read Romans chapter 1 before, if you haven't, I would advise you and encourage you to maybe later today you could take a moment and read through that in its entirety. But if you've read Romans chapter 1 before, you'll know that Paul describes a scenario whereby people who knew God, just like we read in Hebrews, turned away from God. And in their turning away from God, he tells us that they began to engage in sinful behavior. And rather than confessing that sin, rather than addressing that sin, they allowed that sin to go unchecked. And Paul describes a scenario where people become darkened in their understanding. Let me describe that to you in another way. It's called a hard heart. Where your heart becomes darkened and hard to the point that you are no longer sensitive to the promptings of God. And all of a sudden, what you used to call wrong, it's actually no big deal any longer. What you used to think of as sin and a problem, you no longer see it as a problem anymore. You're darkened in your understanding, and what previously was wrong to you is now right to you. In fact, Paul goes on to suggest that that very person gets so hard-hearted that they not only continue to practice these unchecked sins, they actually encourage others to engage in them as well. That's what happens with a hard heart. You lose the sense of what is right and what is wrong. Now, those are some of the causes of what goes about making or into a hard heart. I want to talk to you for just a moment now about its symptoms. What does a hard heart look like? I've already described to you what Pharaoh was like, what Nebuchadnezzar was like. I described to you what it looked like, what Paul described in Romans 1, when a person kind of turns away from God and goes the wrong direction. But there are some other symptoms that would behoove us to pay attention to. Symptoms of what a hard heart looks like. Now, I'll call this A. Symptom of a hard heart. Self-imposed isolation. A symptom of a hard heart. Self-imposed isolation. Let me describe that to you. You don't feel like talking to anyone. And you certainly aren't going to talk to anyone about anything of substance. If you know how the background to some of the writings in Scripture, you'll know that Paul was the father of the Corinthian church. In one of his missionary journeys, he found some people open to the gospel and planted a church in Corinth. Sometime later, the people in Corinth got a hard heart towards Paul. They got an attitude towards Paul. Paul wrote his second letter. 2 Corinthians was written primarily to try to win the Corinthians back, to try to get back in good relationship with them. And in 2 Corinthians, he wrote this. Listen to what he said. He says, we have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak to you as my children, open wide your hearts also. You see, what happens with a hard heart is it begins to close in. Who's got the music playing? Oh, that's the Church Sound Street. How cool is that? Can you tell what they're singing? Nice. Two worship services. Paul was encouraging them to reopen their hearts towards him. He was encouraging them to not isolate themselves, and particularly in regards to their relationship. When you start to harden your heart, you will start to push people away, particularly the people who could be most advantageous to you. B, symptom B, everyone's advice seems bad to you. You no longer are able to accept what someone might say to you. We see this symptom in Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh's heart, it says, remained hard. He refused to listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had predicted. This ability to listen, particularly to the good advice of others, requires humility. It requires humility, not being self-isolated and being open to engage with other people takes vulnerability, but not being able to hear what others would tell you takes humility. It takes the ability to realize that I'm not right 100% of the time. You've heard me say to you time and time again that humility is not about thinking less of yourself. It's about thinking of yourself less. It's about taking others into account. And when you've got a hard heart, it makes it difficult for you to do that. It makes you difficult to hear what others have to say. A, self-imposed isolation. B, difficulty in taking advice from others. C, you find it difficult to love well, and even impossible to love those who don't see things just the way you do. One of the common threads throughout Scripture of what it's like when evil is prevailing. The Bible tells us repeatedly that the love of people will grow cold. That means your ability to receive love and your ability to give love. When evil is ruling and reigning, it will be difficult to love and be loved. In fact, in the Message translation, Jesus said in Matthew 24, 12, "For many others, the overwhelming spread of evil will do them in, nothing left of their love but ashes." If you find it difficult to love, it may be because you're suffering from one of the stages of having a hard heart. The prescription to deal with that aspect of a hard heart is to receive Christ's love for you personally. When you receive Christ's love for you personally, you will have love for even those you disagree with. You will have love for others and particularly for people. You know, Jesus loved people who didn't accept him. Symptoms of a hard heart. D, envy. Envy. You can't be happy for anyone else's success except your own. Envy makes it impossible to love. Instead of celebrating differences and admiring other people, you secretly hope for others' failure. How sad is that? How sad is that when we get to that place in our heart where we're actually rooting for other people's demise? If you watch the news at all right now, it is replete with that. Hoping that other people fail. How sad is that? God help us that we don't find ourselves in that place. David in Psalm 73 said in his own words, I'm not putting words into his mouth, he said, I envied people. He said, I envied the godless. And what's described in Psalm 73 is David taking a trip south down the toilet in his soul. His sacred heart was becoming hardened by sin's deceitfulness, and it was causing him to lose hope. It was causing him to get hard in his heart. And if you read that psalm, you'll find out nothing changed until he got in the presence of God. When he got himself in the presence of God, his heart began to recover. The answer to envy is thankfulness. The antidote to envy in our heart is giving thanks, and giving thanks will soften your heart. It will cause you to be able to come back to the place in your heart where you are soft and pliable once again. The joy of the Lord, thanking the Lord, truly is one of our greatest strengths. Symptom of a hard heart. E, hopelessness. Hopelessness. Hopelessness is about not feeling anything about stuff that you should. You stuff you should care about, you don't care about anymore. Because of deep disappointment and seemingly unchecked evil, you have gotten to the place where you just don't care anymore. That is a sign that your heart is hard. There were two people, the Bible tells us, after the resurrection, two disciples of Jesus, who it tells us were walking on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus pulled up next to them. I picture them as they're walking on this road. I picture them with their heads down. I picture that there is a step about them that demonstrates that they no longer had hope. And as Jesus is talking to them, they're kind of telling Jesus, oh, where have you been? Haven't you heard what's going on? We were following this guy. We were worshiping this guy. We thought he was going to be the one to bring restoration to Israel. And they killed him on a cross. It literally says, we had hoped. The things that they had cared about, they weren't caring about like they should any longer. They were in a place of hopelessness. The antidote for hopelessness is faith. And that's exactly what happened to them as Jesus began to talk. As he began to tell them about things and speaking to them once again about the kingdom, it's like whatever little flicker there was in their heart, it began to burn once again. In fact, they literally said, our hearts began burning within us. Faith began to arise again in their soul. For everything, for every malady, for every symptom that we might have that are signs of hard-heartedness, God has a cure for that. God has a way of fixing that. I am really glad that we don't pull into God's doctor office and we talk to him about our problem and he says to us, I don't know what I can tell you. Go home and make sure you get everything in order. That's not how God does it. He says, I have a solution to your problem. The solution to your problem is involved in taking this medicine. For you see, it's at the Lord's table where we find our ability to be vulnerable again. It's at the Lord's table where we can start to open up our hearts again and trust again. You may remember when Jesus celebrated the Last Supper with his disciples. It was an incredibly vulnerable moment. Last week I went and had a doctor's checkup, right? Now, I know I'm talking for nearly all the men in here, but I think I'm talking for even some women too. None of us likes to go to the doctor. I don't like going to the doctor because it's a vulnerable place to be. Sometimes I got to take my clothes off. I don't like that. I don't like taking my clothes off. But the doctor also has a way of asking you questions I don't really want to talk about. Recently, I don't know if you've been to the doctor lately, but they make you answer this questionnaire about your mental health. I think there's a half a dozen questions or so. So I'm answering the questions. I'm reading the question, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, as I'm looking at the question, I'm thinking, well, sometimes I do, and sometimes I don't, and sometimes I do, and sometimes I don't. And I'm thinking, if I check yes, I'm going to be here longer than I thought I was going to be. In fact, they'll be calling the ambulance if I check yes to all these, right? So I just check no, you know, because I don't want to be vulnerable about whether I ever have moments of discouragement, right? Because they might think I need more help, which I probably do. But they're asking you to be vulnerable about your physical and mental well-being. When we come to this place, think about it for a moment. When Paul was writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians, and he talked about the Lord's table, he talked about it in terms of a self-examination. It's God's doctor's office. It's a place we go to get a checkup and to deal with the things that ail us. God has a prescription for hard-heartedness. It's a place where we receive his love to soften our hearts again. It's the place where we find out how thankful we truly should be. It's the place where we're made aware of afresh of how much I really need his involvement in my life. Listen, as we look out over our world right now, as we look out over our culture, society, it would be very easy for any of us and all of us to get a hard heart. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back to the platform. I want to read to you a passage from Ezekiel. This is one of the prophetic verses in the Old Testament talking about the change that would happen in the New Testament. You and I are on this side of the New Testament. I want to read to you what was prophesied, what was spoken about as though it would come to pass. And this is what it says in Ezekiel 36, verse 25 through 27. God says, I will sprinkle you clean with water from your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my precepts. God says in this passage, my prophetic promise to you is, I will give you a new heart. I will take out that heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Now, we know that that can, we know that that does happen, should happen, will happen at conversion, at the point that we embrace Christ for the first time. That's what he's promised to do, to take out our heart of stone and give us a new heart, a heart of flesh. But we're fooling ourselves. We are kidding ourselves if that is the only moment in our life where we need to have him put a new heart in us. That is something that you and I need. Remember, I read to you from the beginning an address to Christians about a warning about turning our hearts away from the living God and allowing our hearts to become hardened through sin's deceitfulness. Listen, we are immersed in sin's deceitfulness. We live with sin all around us. And we must ensure, we must take steps, each of us personally, to ensure that we don't allow that which we are immersed in, that we don't allow our environment to infect our souls, to make sure that our hearts don't become hardened. I want to invite you today. We are going to sing a song now. It's an oldie but goodie. I thought maybe we could hear it being sung off in the distance. It's called Nothing But the Blood. Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. And there's one particular line in this song about what can make me whole again. What can make, for our purposes, what can make my heart soft again? What can make it pliable again? What can make it humble again? What can make it loving again? What can make it vulnerable again? What can make it thankful again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You know, I've said to people along the way, as we've been navigating our way through this unprecedented time, I've been saying to people along the way, the greatest concern I have is not this virus. The greatest concern I have are people's hearts. What you have seen unleashed on the streets of our country is hard-heartedness at its best or worst. That's what you're witnessing. When you see buildings being smashed and burnt, when you see people spewing hate at one another, that is hard-heartedness at its worst. There is no political cure for that. Hello? There is no political cure for hard-heartedness. There is no propaganda cure for hard-heartedness. The only cure for hard-heartedness you hold in your hands. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Because there's nothing else that can soften hearts. There is nothing else that can make me whole again. You see, when you start carrying around a victim mindset and a hard-hearted mindset, that all gets dealt with in this moment. Because you realize afresh, wait a minute, I'm not the victim, he is. The sinless one came and was brutally beaten for my sin, not his sin, my sin. If anyone was ever a victim, surely he was. There is no other cure for what really ails us. For our sacred hearts to be made well again, there is no other cure. Nothing, 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 nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's no amount of happy thoughts. There's no, you know, you can just keep convincing yourself, you know, oh, I shouldn't be like this. I shouldn't be like this. Listen, the answer isn't convincing ourselves. The answer is getting back in the face of Jesus and letting him correct our hearts, letting him heal our hearts. So whether you're here or you're at home right now, I want you to grab hold of this little container as we sing this song together, and then I'll lead us through a moment of partaking together. I would invite you to stand just in a way of honoring God, in a way of just getting before him, if you will.
Oh,
So if you're holding the cup in your hands right now, I just want to point out there's a thin layer of cellophane where the wafer is underneath. So if you could just kind of find that cellophane and pull that back first before you open up the juice. And then take the little wafer out from underneath the cellophane. I'd like to pause and give thanks for his body. Lord, as we hold in our hands the emblem of your body, you made yourself humble, vulnerable. You, even on the night you shared this with your disciples, you lifted up the bread and you were thankful, knowing full well what was coming your way. You gave thanks. Lord, today we give thanks for you have provided the remedy, the medicine, the solution for what ails our hearts. And today we pause right now to give you thanks. Thank you for your body, bruised, broken, beaten on our behalf, so that we could have a whole heart, so that we could have a sacred heart that loves well, Lord. You loved well, so we could love well. Today we give you thanks, and we partake of your body in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we partake together? And now if you take the little tab there and you peel that back, it should uncover a little shot glass of juice there. The one was your pill. Now you're taking the drink. Lord, we thank you for your blood. Nothing but your blood. We thank you that contained in this little thing we hold in our hands here today is a medicine that will heal any broken, hurting heart, Lord. It will heal any pride-stricken heart. It will heal any unchecked, sin-ridden heart. This medicine right here that we're about to take is the antidote. What do they call that thing? The vaccine. That's the word. I knew it would come. This vaccine, you solved this problem of sin and broken, hardened hearts a long time ago. And this morning, we take your cure again. We take it again. In a few weeks from now, we'll do it again, because we'll need to do it again in order to keep our hearts from becoming hard, Lord. Please accept our thanks once again. Amen. Let's partake together. For the last 4 or 5 years, I've been very thankful for this medicine I hold. I'm thankful that my heart, my physical heart, beats right because this helps me. But I'm not nearly as thankful for this as I am for this. because this keeps my sacred heart from becoming hardened towards God or towards people. And I keep coming, I take this every day because they told me to. I take this as often as I can because I need to. What this represents is getting ourselves into the presence of Jesus. I invite you and encourage you, whether you celebrate communion or not, I invite you and encourage you to get yourself, get your sacred heart into the presence of Jesus so that you don't allow the deceitfulness of sin, the brokenness of this world, to cause your heart to become hard. Get with Him often and frequently. I bless you today. I pray God's favor and grace upon you. I pray His presence over your life. I pray that you will take advantage of His presence this week. May the Lord go with you as we go from this place. In Jesus' name, amen.